The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
People will remember that we spoke to Zach Hania a few weeks ago here on the show. He had just returned to Dublin last month after having been trapped in Gaza, in the Gaza Strip, for 7 long months. And it falls on me to tell you that Zach received awful news yesterday that 10 members of his family had been killed overnight in Gaza. 10 more members of his family is probably the way I should describe it. And Zach is with me in studio. Zach, you're welcome to The Hard Shoulder. And thank you for taking the time to speak to us, especially given the circumstances and the news that you woke up to. Do you know what happened?
Thank you for inviting me. And I want to thank all the Irish people for their great solidarity, and especially my friends, my amazing friends who are covering me with love and kindness. And that's part of my healing. Thank you. Actually, my relatives were sleeping the night before. And at 2 o'clock, a missile hit their house. It's two stories house. Three boys were sleeping on the first floor, and the rest of them, 7, on the ground floor. So the missiles hit the downstairs, the ground floor, and the whole building collapsed. All of them are dead. 7 people on the ground floor still under the rubble because it's a concrete house and no machineries, no bulldozer to take the concrete out, and we are not able to take them out. Only 3, the ones who were on the first floor. And sadly, like, I rang my family yesterday and they told me they managed to get parts of them. So they are not like full body. They are, because of the strong explosion and missile. So they are like, you know, they torn into parts. And the rest of them is still under the rubble. And I ask them, what are they going to do? Like, you know, to have a dignified, like, you know, funeral, and to bury them, like, you know, in a dignified way. And they said, we can't do anything in our hands because we can't take all that concrete in our hands. It needs like machineries, big bulldozer or something like that, to take, you know, all the concrete out, to move it. The youngest of them is a girl, 10 years old. And the other girl is 15, and one is 19, and the boys are in their early 20s. And my cousin's mother is 80 years old. I don't know what to say. Like, we have been living for the last 8-9 months, and no words left. I am full of sadness. The wound in my heart is deepening, and the whole world is still watching. I remember when I was in Gaza in the first month, and I did interview, and I asked how many people, it was like, you know, 8 or 10,000 people did at that time. How many people has to die for the world to wake up? And now is almost 40,000 people are killed. 70% of them are women and children. And 10,000 are missing. And a lot of people are still under the rubble. My neighbors are still under the rubble in northern part of Gaza, in the beach camp. My neighbors are still under the rubble from last November. And people on the ground, they can't do anything to remove all that concrete. And now starvation is coming back again, especially to the northern part. And they are like, you know, they are dying hungry. I'm full of rage. Where is the humanity? Like, I feel speechless. I don't know what to say about this. The world is failing us. Humanity is failing us. And we are seeing this live on television. In front of our eyes. A massacre, a genocide. A crime is happening in before our eyes and we are watching it live. What the governments of the world, the leaders of the world needs to do something to stop this. We are losing our humanity. Everybody on this planet is using part of their humanity because we are allowing this to continue for all that long. It's going 9 months now. And I'm very worried about the rest of my family that they are still there. And every morning I wake up and expecting a bad, like, you know, to read or to hear a bad news. And I'm living in stress and worries. About a week ago, one of my extended family, he's in late 70s, and he has Alzheimer. He went missing from his house for 2-3 days, and they found him dead, killed. An old man has Alzheimer, and he went missing from the place, from his home, and my family were looking to find him. And after 3 days, they found him dead. The Israelis killed him, and they know he is an old man. And you can recognize he's an old man. So they have no respect for anybody, for anything. They have disregard for everything, for everybody. What are we waiting for to stop this? Enough is enough.
How many family members have you still in Gaza?
We have big families in Palestine. We have, like, you know, the families, they have big families.
I have a lot of people still to worry about.
I have four of my sisters. One of them died because of in northern part of Gaza, and she died of hunger about 4 months ago.
She died of hunger.
Yes, my oldest sister. She was a diabetic. And she died of hunger and lack of health care and enough medicine. And we couldn't go even to see her or to say goodbye. I lost my nephew. I lost 30. We counted them yesterday. 32 of my direct cousins and about 50 of my extended families and many of my friends and of my neighbors.
The situation you find yourself in, Zach, I almost don't know what to say to you about it. I'm kind of speechless. I have no basis for comparison, nothing I can, like I say, compare it to. What impact is it having on you on a day-to-day basis?
To be honest, I'm not well. And I'm trying to be okay just for the sake of my kids. I don't want to affect them. But I think they see and they know, like, you know, what's going on. But it's so hard on me. I'm trying to be strong. But in front of, like, seeing all this and facing all this losses and massacres and watching videos and seeing people killed in this way and shattered into pieces, the kids, it breaks my heart and I feel helpless. I can't do anything to help my family or to help my people. And I felt I will be okay when I leave Gaza. Okay, I am safe. Thank God I was able to leave and I am safe. And I'm reunited with my kids. But to be honest, life is unbearable. The look is grim. Mm. I start, life lost its taste. I have no desire for life anymore.
to the people you describe as well, Zach, I mean, I can't be the only person who thinks of it this way. I mean, a middle-aged woman with diabetes and an elderly man with Alzheimer's, I'd love to know what threat they posed to Israel. None is the answer. Like, absolutely no threat in the wide earthly world.
The people who are, like, you know, my cousin who are killed yesterday, they were sleeping in their house.
A sleeping 10-year-old girl.
Yeah, at 2 o'clock at night time. It's absolute desire for blood. It's absolute desire for killing. That's Israel. That's the criminal Zionist Israel. They living in our blood. And that's the way this state was established. Now everybody sees this on social media, on all kind of media. Israel is exposed and it's taking its mask off. And it is showing its real face. When this state was established, it was established on our blood. It was established by massacres and by displacing my parents and my grandparents and taking our land and killing as much as they can to ethnic cleanse the place and have the land for their own, themselves only. Though Palestinians, before 1948, they were welcoming all the Jews who are coming from Europe, fleeing from persecution. And we had no problem with that. But look what they are doing. Mm. This state was established by gangs, Zionist gangs. They committed a lot of massacres. Deir Yassin, Qibya, Tantura, all those massacres, 1948. Until now, we have been living with this for all those years. And now the world is seeing this very clear. And they are not shying about this. They are saying that we want to kill, and they are finding justifications to kill kids and children. Because they have, I really sometimes wonder, like, where do they get all this hate and this courage to kill children? I feel weak when I see a child crying, or a woman, a coward man who killed a child or a woman, or hurt a woman or a child. That's cowardice. I don't know how they do that. I don't know how their humanity allows them to or permits them to do this.
I know, listen, you say, Zach, you've got your family around you here and you're trying to be strong for your kids. You've got people around here as well for support, people you can talk to, do you?
I have a great friend.
Okay.
I have a great friends in Ireland, and some of them I consider they are part of my family.
Okay.
And they are always around me, and they are really, I can't thank them enough, because they are really the cure for my pain. They are always available, you know, and they are always giving me kindness and love that really I need in this difficult time, and I really want to thank them. And I want to thank the all Irish, the great, my people, the Irish people, for their solidarity and their kindness and their being, like, showing and being true humans. But, you know, I really wish that this crime, this genocide, ends today, ends now, to stop seeing all this killing and this, you know, people don't have water. They are struggling every day, daily, to get some water, to get some food. And now in the northern part of Gaza, I just want to alert people to know that they are starving now. And today one child died in a hospital because of malnutrition. And a lot of people in Gaza, it's the prices. They have very, very little products, like vegetables. but it's very, very high prices and it's so little. So we have to do something about this and not let people die of hunger or famine. Or that's, I don't know how is this acceptable in the 21st century. Humanity has developed all the way. And we wanted to be civilized, and we want all the humanity to be like, you know, civilized and respect the human rights, the human existence, the human integrity.
Well, how do we let it happen? What did you say in the 21st century? In the 1980s, they didn't want it to happen. They organized a whole series of concerts around the world to stop it happening. And Ethiopia and Somalia afterwards, and yet here we are, as you say, in 2024, and not just allowing it to happen and inflicting it on a people. Zach, listen, keep talking to those people who are around you. Keep the channel of communication open with them. It's important. And thanks a million for coming into us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.